Thank you, Brother Wade. I like that song. Our hearts hunger for. May our hearts hunger for the Lord. You should have received a handout this morning. Hopefully you've got one of those. And go ahead and pull that out and look at it. And we'll try our best to follow it this morning. Except for I made a change toward the end. I had two things mixed up. That's okay. We'll work it out. Psalms, the book of Psalms this morning. Psalms 95. Comes right before the book of Proverbs. If you're in Genesis, you haven't gone far enough yet. If you're in Matthew, you've gone too far. Psalms 94. Amber, I'm glad we let Miss Rachel sing before the video. It probably been hard to follow that, Rachel. But that was a good song this morning. Thank you for that. Having a real Thanksgiving. You know, maybe this Thursday it'll be more than just a day off. It'll be a real Thanksgiving. As we begin this Thanksgiving season, I guess one of my prayers is this, that as a church family, we'll lift our hearts to God in praise and thanksgiving. We're not going to have a midweek service this week on Wednesday. We'll move it back Tuesday. We'll have a time of praise, time of thanksgiving for that. Probably some leftover pumpkin pie. And I really kind of like that leftover food fight. Maybe we could do that for next Sunday at church. Amen. Because, you know, last time people brought food. And so are we going to do that next Sunday? We're going to eat after the service next Sunday. So if you guys bring some food next Sunday after the service, you can bring leftovers. That's fine. You can make something else. You bring that, we'll have time of fellowship after church service next Sunday. All right. I put in your notes how Thanksgiving began in America. The history revisionists are removing this history out of our textbooks. They're removing it out of every place. Big tech is probably going to begin to move a lot of this off of search engines and stuff. So it's important, you know, we've gone digital in so many areas, but and we've said some things about it, but with the power that those that control the digital media, you better make sure that you have some real books. Real books. Keep those. Psalm 95 is a call to worship, a call to give thanks. As a matter of fact, if you start in Psalm 95 and you go through Psalm 100, all of those deal with this. I'm trying to get off the ground. I'm trying to get started today, and I don't know why I'm having a hard time, and I apologize for that. The church that I visited out there, Harvest Baptist Church, we started at 10 o'clock Sunday service. Sunday school started at 9. Morning service started at 10 o'clock. And they were finished at 10:45. Yeah, everybody together say, wow. I told them, I said, I'll never tell anybody in my church where you're at because I don't want folks to get used to that. And Psalm 95 reveals at least three great truths. It's a powerful text. There are some words in here that as we read through, maybe you underline or you circle. It's an action. It's a call to us committing to an action. Look at it in verse number 1. I guess we'll just read this and then we'll see where it goes. How about that? I have a sermon, but I don't know what's going to happen here in the next few moments. I really don't. So we'll see how the Lord leads. He says, look at it in verse number 1. He says, oh, come. Notice the action words here. Come. He says, you come. I want you to make that decision to move towards, to advance. I love the word that is used here in our King James Bible. It means to draw near, to approach, to arrive, to be present. It means to advance near in any manner. And I love this last part, from any distance. God says, you come. You know what he's saying? It doesn't matter where you're at. Doesn't matter where you're at in your spiritual walk, you come from any distance. Can I say something? That's the grace of our God right there. He says, I want you to come. And you say, but Lord, I'm not good enough. God says, that doesn't matter. I am more than capable to overcome all of those things. You come. And then notice what he says. Let us sing. Sing. Let us sing unto the Lord, and let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. By the way, there will be a test later on, so probably a good idea you underline those words. Oh, sorry, I'm in the wrong class. Number two, he says, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with songs. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hands are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it. And his hands formed the dry ground or dry land. Notice verse number 6. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For he is our God, and we are, not will be, but we are the sheep of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, here's a word, circle this word in your Bible. It's a decision word. It's a choice. He says, today, if we hear his voice. Every day we have a choice whether or not we're going to hear his voice. And sometimes we don't because of what happens in verse number 8. You underline this one too. He says, harden. In fact, there's two of them. Harden not. Harden not your heart. As in the day of provocation, as in the day of the temptation wilderness. I'll explain all of that in a minute. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work, 40 years long was I grieved with this generation. Said it is a people that do err in their heart. I'm amazed. He says in their heart. He didn't say in their ways. He says in their heart. He didn't say in their actions. He says in their heart. For as a man believeth in his heart, that's how it is. And they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. Verse number 1, Psalm 96. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. I could go through all of those. Three things. You guys have your papers today. Let's go ahead and fill in the blanks. Number 1, I want you to see in verses 1 and 2, the witness of God's people. The witness of God's people. A choice is called upon here. There's a choice that must be made. You and I are as close to God as we want to be. And all God's people said, let's say that again, you guys aren't convinced. Well, you and I are as close to God as we want to be. And all God's people said, it's a decision that we make. Come. If you want to be closer to God, it's not about changing circumstances. It's not about getting out of a bad marriage or an unhealthy marriage. It's not about changing your health. Well, if I had better health, I would do this. No, your health is what it is. By the way, God has given you that health. Now, you may have increased it being bad faster by what we eat, drink, and all of that. But our health is what it is. This is the temple that we've got to live in. And we've got to learn to serve God with what we have, not what we want to have. The Apostle Paul said, learn to be content. It's not about getting out of a bad marriage or developing good health or changing jobs, changing schools, changing churches. It's about changing your want to. It's about allowing God to change your heart. An evergreen tree, it's that time of the year. Trees and leaves falling off. But we have evergreen trees all over. You ever notice an evergreen tree is always green? Doesn't matter if it's hot, cold. That dude's always green. Always. I wonder if God wants us to be like evergreen trees. No matter what circumstances are around it, guess what? Always thankful. Always grateful. Evergreen. Ever thanking. God's people should be known by what is known as a gratitude attitude. I said this before in this type of sermon. A bad moment for an atheist is when he feels grateful and has nobody to thank. By the way, can I pause here and tell you guys a little bit about traveling? This has nothing to do with a sermon. I just got to get this off my chest. I had a really bad day traveling yesterday. Got to airport early. Put my luggage up there on the scale. The guy said, you're 4 pounds overweight. It can either be $30 or $100. He said, you got to take 4 pounds out. I said, so you want me to take 4 pounds out of that bag that's going to go on the plane and put it in another bag that's going to go on the plane? It's 4 pounds, whether it's in that bag or in this bag. By the way, whenever you smart off to the gate agent like that, TSA takes a special look at you. All of my luggage was searched. I was searched up to, thank goodness, not a body cavity search. They said, oh, the sniffer has detected gunpowder on you. Duh, I've been shooting all week. I took a bath, but apparently I missed something. Now, I was thinking about what I was going to preach today. I'm going to tell you, I wasn't real thankful yesterday. I was a little miserable about all that. But then I got on a plane. I love being on planes. I really do. And I love sitting around strangers. You guys have seen that meme, you know, it's about the woman that says her and her husband got separated on the plane. And she sat up there and she just kind of stayed in her own world. And when they got off, her and her husband were talking. Her husband knew everybody around and apparently he's in somebody's wedding. That's kind of like me. I meet all the people around me. Hey, how you doing? You know, I talk to them and find out people next to me, they own the lock and the safe company. And so all kinds of things. And so I gave everybody around me gospel tracts. And I thought, you know what? I'm not going to let my bad morning ruin the whole day. And I was grateful for what God did in my life through all that. And He was teaching me something. He wanted me to understand that whenever I'm thankful, whenever I'm grateful to what God has done for me, I'm a witness to others. And whenever I'm not a witness. We're to enter into His presence with thanksgiving. You know, we're also to request His help with thanksgiving. The Bible says in Philippians, He says, be careful for nothing. The idea there, if modern day vernacular would be, don't be anxious for it. All right? Don't allow it to overwhelm you. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with what? Thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. When our wills, our desires, our dreams line up with God's wills and desires for our life, you know that whatsoever we ask in Jesus' name, He'll give it to us. The problem is that it's not that we're not praying, it's that we're not praying for what God wants for our life. In everything, give thanks. Matthew Henry wrote one of the more, probably better known commentaries. And if you don't have one, you need to have it downloaded in your Bible program or something. But he was robbed. He wrote in his diary, after he was robbed, he wrote this. He said, let me be thankful. That's tough. And here's what he wrote. He says, first, because I was never robbed before. Second, because although they took my wallet, they did not take my life. Third, because although they took it all, it was not very much. And then fourth, I'm thankful because it was I who was robbed and not I that was doing the robbing. In everything, give thanks. You want to know what the will of God is? Here it is. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We're witnesses through our thanksgiving. We're witness to a joyful spirit. Oh, the holidays bring out the good, the bad, and the ugly. And all kinds of different people. Sometimes it's because your family are coming. And there's a stress of that. Sometimes, I don't know. Sometimes, look, this year, can I go ahead and say this ahead of time? Don't go into debt for Christmas. Don't. Joe Biden's still the president. You have no ideas what's going to happen next year. They've been pushing back and pushing back a lot of things. They've been propping up a lot of things. Listen, you can't do what our government's been doing for the last, not just 2 years, but the last 4 years. last 2 years of Trump and the first 2 years of Joe Biden. You can't do that. You can't print money and make it and expect for everything to be all okay. Diesel fuel is $6 a gallon right now. That's going to begin to impact everything about the time Christmas hits. Don't go into debt for Christmas. If you don't have it, you don't have it. Don't pay $200 for a Christmas tree. Just put the stand up and pretend. Good enough. You ladies can get together and paint something on a piece of board and put it up. Of course, the board probably cost $100. But you know, we witness through our joyful spirit. Don't let the devil and the things of the world to steal that. If you go into debt for Christmas, I'm going to tell you something. It's going to steal your joy. Don't overspend. You say, well, I'm not going to go into debt. Don't overspend. It is what it is. Most of us have everything we could ever want right now. Be careful. Those of you that have children, grandchildren, challenge them in this area. You want to steal the joy from Christmas? Be paying for it next March. The best way to prepare for Christmas, here's what gets me. It's like people wake up on Black Friday and say, oh no, Christmas is coming. Christmas has been coming since last Christmas. Amen. You say, when do I start saving for Christmas? The day after Christmas for next year. Put a little bit back. Put a little bit back. You say, well, I don't have it. Well, then just gather around and sing. Come here for Christmas Eve service and we'll have a good time. We'll rejoice together. Then you go home and, I don't know, make gifts for one another. Be careful. Be careful this year in particular. Things are very high, very expensive. We witness whenever we're joyful. We witness whenever we praise, when we thank God. Here's the truth. If you and I are not thankful, we're not going to be joyful. Benjamin Franklin said, to the discontented man, there is no such thing as an easy chair. What he says is no matter where you're at, you're uncomfortable. Have you ever been kind of a little, how many of you have ever been kind of a little miserable before? A little grumpy? Oh, come on, some of you raise your hands. You're that way right now, all right? It's not me, it's everybody around me. I'm not saying anything. Number two, not only have the witness of God's people in these verses, we have the worship of God's people. So the first verses talk about our witness. The next few verses talk about our worship. Look at it, verse number 3. I like this. For the Lord is a great God. Man, there's no truer statement that's ever been made. How many of you had a very specific answer to prayer, let's say in the last 6 months or so? How many of you had a very specific? You got that? I have. You know why? Because we serve a great God. You said, preacher, I have some prayer. Keep praying. Keep praying for them. Because we serve a great God. Notice, it says He is a great God and a great King above all gods. In His hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is His also. The sea is His and He made it. And His hand formed the dry land. You know what He's saying? Same words that Jesus said. Go ye in all the world and preach the gospel and all that. And He says the reason why is because all power is given unto me on heaven and earth. All power. That's what He's saying. God's an all-powerful God. Look at the next verse. This is one in verse number 6 has several words in it that we probably need to recognize. Maybe even obey. Oh, come. That means come from in any manner, from any distance. Draw near, draw nigh. Oh, come. Let us worship. The word worship is formed from two words, worth and ship. We worship what we value. We worship what we value. It says, we worship and bow down. That's humility. Let us kneel before the Lord our God. The idea of kneeling there is not, it is different than bowing. Bowing down is an act of humility. Kneeling is the practice of waiting. Maybe humble ourselves and bow down and kneel and wait on God. Why? because He's our Maker. He's Creator. Worship is subjective. It's based on my desire. But it's also objective. I'll worship something or someone. We worship in our attitude. One study said those that who offer gratitude are less envious, less resentful. They sleep longer, they exercise more, and they report a drop in blood pressure. You know, lower your blood pressure a little bit. By the way, I had a dream about Gitano on Thursday or Friday. I don't know exactly what the situation was, but whenever I was talking to her, there was a piece of glass between us. And I had a phone up to my ear, and she had one up to her ear, and I thought, why am I talking to Gitano on a phone to a piece of glass? Evidently, she was in jail for something. Probably for murder, right? Killing Josh. But it was just clear as day, and I'm sitting there, and when I woke up, I thought, well, that was weird. But I do have these premonitions about the future every once in a while. I suffer from deja vu. I walk into a place, and I'm like, I've been here. So, God bless you, Josh. It's been good knowing you. I don't know what's going to happen. That has nothing to do with sermon. It's just a thought of mine. I told you, I don't know where we're going with this today. I have four more minutes, so let's finish. We worship God as our Savior. You go back to verse number one and notice what he says. He says, "Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation." That rock there is not a big pebble. That's a great big rock. We worship Him as our Savior. We worship Him as our King. King. And then we worship Him as our Creator. The Bible says, "Know ye that the Lord, He is God, and is He that made us and not we ourselves." But you know, we live in a day and time where people have decided to worship the creature more than the Creator. The book of Romans warned us about that. And we see these things happening in our society today. Wherefore, God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor God or dishonor their bodies between themselves. Who changed the truth of God into a lie. I've had people tell me recently, well, that's your truth. No, it's not my truth, it's the truth. Two opposing truths cannot exist. One has got to be wrong. I'm going to tell you something. I believe I'll just believe God. I just believe I'll believe God. You know, if it turned out that I was wrong, I've still lived a good life. But here's the truth. It's going to turn out that I'm right. And I'm fearful for those that have turned the truth into a lie. And so they've changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. You know, we worship God in our actions, our songs. Steve dropped off singing for a little bit a while ago. I could hear you guys singing back. Songs. Sing. Sing. You say, I'm not a good singer. The majority of us here are not. There's only a handful in this crowd that can actually sing very good. You know why? Because the pastor of the church attracts people kind of like him. Amen. So we're a bunch of non-singers. But you know what? We can still sing. Because here's the truth about singing. It's not about my talent. It's about who I'm worshiping. We worship Him through our singing. Sing out. We serve God through our singing, serving through our service, we're serving through our stewardship. Oh, for us to be transformed, not just on Sunday, but on Monday. We witness God, witness for God, or we witness to God We worship God. And then lastly today, I want you to see a warning when we don't, when we're not faithful. Verse number 7 says this, "For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Today, if," there's that word, "if you will hear His voice." You know, every day God's wanting to speak to us. Harden not your hearts. As in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me. In the Old Testament, the nation of Israel decided they weren't going to follow God. They just weren't going to obey. There's a warning. There's a warning against faithlessness. I put the definition in your notes. Faithlessness means unbelief. It means treachery, disloyalty, violation of promises or covenants. There's a word in there that I'd never heard before. I was reading a definition that says perfidy. It's tough whenever you give a definition. You have to look up a definition for a word that's in the definition. So I looked up the word perfidy. You know what it means? The act of violating faith. Violating a promise, a vow or allegiance. It also means treachery. So whenever you and I are not faithful to God, we're committing treachery. Violating our promise, our vow, our covenant with Him. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." They put Peter and some of the others in jail and they said, "Listen, fellas, we ought to obey God rather than man." There's a warning against faithlessness. There's a warning against thanklessness. Notice what he says. First two words in verse number 8, harden not. You know, it's a choice. America today has hardened her heart. The Bible says, while it is day, while it is said, today, if you'll hear my voice, harden not your hearts. Let me read something to you. I'm almost finished. Just hang tight. We've been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We've been preserved the many years in peace and prosperity. We've grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deep deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom or virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to God that made us. It behooves us, then, to humble ourselves before the offended power, to confess our nation's sins, and to pray for clemency and forgiveness. April 30th, 1863, Abraham Lincoln. Proclaiming the need for a national day of fasting, humiliation, and prayer. In 2022, we need a national day of prayer, humiliation, and fasting. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Gratitude will cause us to witness through thanksgiving. Gratitude will cause us to worship in our attitude and actions. But gratitude will also help us to hear the warning from God. I guess the question is this: am I thankful? Not just thank you, but am I really thankful for what God has done? In every area, God gives a choice to us. If. You see the words in these verses, words like come, bow down, kneel, worship, sing, make. If, harden not You know what I read in those verses? Choice is mine. What choice am I going to choose? Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. That cross back there reminds us of His unspeakable gift. How thankful am I? Salvation, family, church. God help us today to have a real thanksgiving. Not just a day, but a real thankful heart. Heads bowed, eyes closed this morning.